Welcome to the Faith Church Peshtigo podcast. You can connect with us online at faithpeshtigo.com. We're also on Facebook. Just search for Faith Church Peshtigo. Today's podcast features a conversation between Pastor Robbie and myself, Christoph, as we talk about the sermon from July 19th, 2020. Can we start with that?
That's a great one. That didn't peak when I did that another month.
No.
Oh, good. That's a great way to start. Welcome, everybody. We're so glad that you are listening to the Faith Church podcast. This morning is a very special podcast. I'm very excited. I like when we can mix it up a little bit. And so if you are in the habit of listening to this all the time, we're glad that we still have you with us. But typically on Tuesdays, it's Jay and myself, and we are talking through the Sunday morning message. But if you were here on Sunday or if you tuned in, you know that this last Sunday, it was Christoph who preached the sermon. And so I am very excited to be here with Christoph Ketzbeck. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, and here's the nice thing about having the dude who produces all of it. I actually know the number of the episode we're on, and so
I won't. Be so excited.
So welcome to episode 34. There you go.
Episode 34. I'll tell Jay so we can get back on track for next time. He'll be thrilled.
Every time I'm listening to it post-production and he's wrestling with that.
He will be thrilled.
Probably just tell him at some point.
Well, and it's easy enough for us to check 20 seconds before the podcast, but we don't evidently think about it until we're 20 seconds into recording the podcast.
Right.
Then it's too late. So I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit about Sunday's sermon. First off, Christoph, I told you beforehand, but I also want to say on air, I've been so encouraged and truly feel like you are just getting better and better each time you preach. And so
Thank you. I was
super encouraged by this last Sunday. I know the congregation was, and it's awesome seeing you get better and better at that each opportunity you have.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's such a weird... I've grown up doing public speaking stuff. It's just like I did radio for a long time and youth ministry, but it's such a different environment. And it really is getting into the mode of seeing the sermon as more than just a public speaking event, but as an act of worship together as a congregation.
Yes,
and so I feel like as I've been trying to see the sermon more as that, it's helped me to... When getting the opportunity to preach, to look at it like that and to see it as an opportunity not to speak a passage at people, but to worship alongside with people in this particular truth. And so I feel like that's really helped me out.
That's awesome. And you're absolutely right. There is definitely a difference in, and you even mentioned it on Sunday, that difference between what's happening in you personally, what's happening corporately, that you mentioned that in prayer, like you can give suggestions on how to do that generally, but ultimately there's a personal aspect of that I need to contribute to that. So when you're pouring over the scripture and you're writing a sermon, there's aspects of that are both corporate and personal. And so there's things that are going on that we learn and might be personally encouraging or convicting, but not necessarily, not that they're inappropriate for, but just don't fit in that corporate context.
Yeah.
What was something as you were praying through this passage, as you're pouring over Ephesians 2, that you found personally encouraging or convicting or challenging or anything like that?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it very briefly, but I feel like last 2 weeks, it's been about 2 weeks writing it, one of the big things that really challenged me was there's this... there's the dead and there's the alive. There are the dead to our trespasses and alive in Christ. And I think it's very easy to just set up those two categories and run with those two categories, forgetting that those who are alive in Christ were once dead in their trespasses. And I feel like for me, there was a lot of moments of just kind of reflecting on how God has changed me over the last... I mean, I was saved when I was 16. It was 2004, and so that's 16 years ago. I'm getting old. I probably shouldn't say that. I know I upset people. They're like,
okay. Don't say that to somebody who's quite a bit older than
you. But thinking about that, I think it's easy sometimes to just forget what God has saved you out of, to remember that you were dead in your trespasses, and to remember that. And I feel like it grows in me. Like there were two things that really kind of grew through me through that process was, one, remembering that and thanking God through it and just remembering, where he's brought me. But two, like it really challenged me to empathize more with those who are not alive in Christ. I think it's really easy to, just be like, you know, you are in your sin, and how could you be in that sin, and how can you not even see it as sin, and to forget that was me once, you know?
Right.
So I feel like that was something I wrestled through a lot personally, and that's very vague. There's a lot of specifics of what God brought me out of. There's a lot of specifics of who I'm empathizing. I think of very specific people, and it challenged me then to pray for those specific people. It also challenged me to thank God for saving me out of those specific sins. And so I think that was a really big thing that challenged me when writing this particular sermon.
When you keep using the phrase, what God brought you out of, which I think is such a crucial phrase when we're thinking back on, I was dead and I am now alive, to also acknowledge the reality that, and I didn't become alive by my own brilliant choices. Right. It wasn't because I am such a genius and I'm such a intrinsically great person that I made all these good choices, and that poor chump over there just needs to make better choices or act better. But the reality that I was dead, as you said on Sunday, and dead people don't make choices. They don't make moves. Something must reanimate them, and it is the Holy Spirit of the living God of the universe that pulls us out of that. And so, as you say, and not only am I remembering where I was, but I have empathy for someone who was there, and rather than, you know, condemnation or, well, why can't you make this good choice like I did, remember, man, you need God to rescue you just like I needed God to rescue me. And so then that paradigm shift where all of a sudden now I'm praying that God would rescue you rather than having ill feelings towards you about you just not making the right choices, right?
Right. And I feel like that falls under a few categories. As you're saying that, it makes me think of, you know, that we get so upset when we see people who are not believers acting in not believer ways. And it's weird.
Right.
What do we expect them to do? And then
why aren't you acting just like this thing that you don't believe or understand?
Yeah. So then the medicine we tend to offer is, well, just stop doing this thing and, you know, then you'll be good.
Right.
And it's like, well, no, that's not what saves them. And there's a myriad of things right now that not only like personally, but there are cultural sins that we're dealing with in the United States. And there's even like these political ones that we end up getting, these things that end up getting politicized. And, it's crazy because I feel like when we get upset about it, when we allow it ourselves to be offended or angry, or we then try to fight against it, we all we're doing is offering a gospel of works then at that point. And and Paul very clearly says that they're not going to be saved by works. Your unsaved friend, your friend who is dead in their trespasses, your family member who is dead in their trespasses, they're not going to be saved because they stopped doing a certain thing. They're only going to be saved by God working in them to bring them to life. And so I feel like it's a posture change of how you pray for them. You no longer pray for them to stop doing certain things. You pray that God would transform their hearts. And then like the second part of that is I feel like sometimes too, we end up falling into the category of intellectual works. So now like not just the moral works, but then we try to argue people into loving God. And we go, we can pull out all these fantastic apologetics and we can, you know, pull out all these fantastic facts and go, well, obviously God exists because of that. And, you know, at that point, again, it's just another work. It's just another work of the mind to get them. And that's not going to save. At best, they're going to say, oh, cool, a God exists. And then you're like, oh, no, not a God exists. Like Jesus Christ exists. Right. Like he died and rose from the grave. And we want to, that's the gospel we want to preach and pray for people.
I think that's a really important distinction. And reveals if my understanding is the way that you are going to be saved is by doing the right things or holding the correct opinions about certain facts, then what I'm revealing is in my heart of hearts, I believe that's what was saving me. Right. Like, I believe that is what's maintaining me, that I am doing the right things and I am believing the correct opinions. And if you would simply hold the same opinions that I do or do the things that I do, you will be saved by the same means that I was, which is the anti-gospel. That is, that reveals I don't actually believe what Jesus and Paul and Peter and James and John, all of the writers of the New Testament say the gospel is, which is it is apart from works, apart from dead works, and by the grace of God alone, through this conduit of faith. So I think that's such an important distinction. Man, that's awesome. We're off to a really good start here.
Yeah, like I think that.
So as you're even in making that shift from what's challenging you personally and what's going on corporately, we know that some things just end up hitting the cutting room floor. Either it doesn't really fit in what the overall message that you're trying to lift from that word, or all kinds of reasons, sometimes just because we don't want the message to be 2.5 hours long.
Right.
Things get cut. Was there anything this last week that you kind of wanted to be in there but just didn't make it for whatever reason?
Yeah. So you know me well enough to know that I feel like there's all sorts of history behind the scriptures when they're written that just illuminate it and make it even more robust.
Yeah.
And I hit on it just a little bit on Sunday morning, and then I knew I had to cut it off. I was like, okay, it was written to this church and we're done. Like, we won't go any further. But it was really cool. I made sure to have the Bible, the passage up, because I wanted to unpack this or just at least share it, because I thought it was really cool. Paul he changes who he's talking to within the first three verses.
Yeah.
And I love it. I think it's so cool. And in a commentary I was reading on it was talking about how he was probably changing from talking to the Greeks to then talking to the Jews, but in the sense it was talking to those who were outside of the faith and then those who were in the faith. And so Ephesians 2:1 starting, "And you were dead in your trespasses of sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of the world." And then if you go to verse 3, he then says, "We too previously lived among them in our fleshly desires." And all of a sudden it changes from the you to the we, to the us, to the, like, we're in this together.
Yeah.
And there's just this carrying of this from that to this that when I read that, I loved it. And I wanted to geek out over it. I wanted to go into all the explanations of how cool it was and how, like, throughout scripture we see that from Greek to Jew, and we see that salvation was for both the Greek and the Jew, and to unpack just how beautiful that is and what it means to then be included into God's family. And I was like, you know, I feel like if I go down that rabbit hole, I'm gonna just fully dive in and take
what
we're talking about.
Part of that, I've got to say, is on you for choosing Ephesians chapter 2, which,
yeah,
like, you could literally do a sermon on each verse individually in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. I wonder if people understand who do not preach regularly that I would argue one of the most, if not the most, the second most difficult aspect, the most difficult aspect is just the pressure of rightly handling the Word of God, right? I don't want to misinform anybody. So that's the number one difficulty. The number two difficulty, and I'd be interested to hear if you agree with this or if this is just me, but I would say the number two difficulty is choosing what not to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much. The Word of God is so rich. It is so deep. It is so nuanced. There's so much in even just one verse that you could go on and on and on. And just like you shared, I mean, there's clearly excitement behind what you're saying. It's not just like, this is a fun fact. Like, you're pumped about that. And so we want to communicate all the things in a sermon, but we know ultimately that's not helpful, because you can give too much information and then you can't really glean something helpful from that. So I find the second most difficult aspect of sermon preparation figuring out what not to say. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So I was thinking about, it's a toy actually my daughter has, and I hopefully this imagery ends up making sense. If I had it in front of me, it would make a lot more sense. But it was funny because during Christmas, our girls received a lot of gifts. Like, they're so loved. And so we put a couple in the closet and we were like, you can play with those later. And then we forgot about them. Okay. We forgot about those toys until like May. So like 5 months later, and we're like, oh yeah, those were the gifts they were given. And so we took it out, and one of them was, it was a cube, and it was probably about a half a foot by half a foot, and it had ABC written on it. And then you open it up, there was a smaller cube that had the next three letters, DEF, and then another smaller cube, then another smaller cube, then another smaller cube, all the way down to one tiny cube that is like an inch in all of its sides, and it had the letter Z on it, right? And so when you pick it up, it's just this one cube that is 6 inches in all around. But then as you like open it up and you take each one of them out, like, it becomes a mess because all of a sudden you have like 12 cubes laying around your living room floor, right? Made out of cardboard. And I feel like unpacking scripture, like, it's a good phrase, unpacking, because like what you're trying to get to is the Z. You're trying to just take that one small cube and explain it. But when you take the one cube out, then you take another cube out, and then you take another cube out, and all of a sudden, like, you're trying to unpack this one truth, and there are all these other truths that you're like, I've got to not include that in because it's going to be confusing. It's going to be messy. It's going to go all over the place.
All of which are equally awesome.
Yes.
Right. So it's not like, oh, I got to get through all these obstacles and all this garbage to get to the good stuff. It's all good stuff.
Yeah.
And so it feels kind of painful sometimes being like, we can't wrestle with the DEF box right now because we got to get to that Z cube.
Like, exactly. Exactly. And I feel like scripture is like that, because you read one passage and you're like, oh, well, that reminds me of this, and that reminds me of this. And then all of a sudden you're like, because scripture, that's the beauty of scripture, is over the course of the 66 books, you have just this incredible consistency that is self-authenticating and beautiful. And you just, you could go a million different directions with it.
Which is why we never stop reading it. We never stop studying it, because we will not ever exhaust its beauty, its wisdom, its revelation of who our God actually is and who we get to be because of him. Like, that's why we preach it every single Sunday and read it every single day, because it is limitless in that. So good news is we're never going to run out of content to preach, because each verse we could preach for a year on, and it would be just as exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. We could do this whole series on that two-word verse. Like, that's so, there's so much in that. And so I do love getting to preach, and I love getting to hear preachers. So thanks again for handling the word well and encouraging us this week.
Thank you.
If you have questions that Christoph's message raised, please don't hesitate to let us know. So you can email us. You can, by going to the website, you can email the office. It'll get to him directly. You can go to the Who We Are section on the webpage, and all of our pictures are on there. If you click on any of those, you can email us directly. You can call the office. You can come knock on the window. You can... There are multiple avenues of contact, and we would love to hear either your questions or just ways that you have been encouraged. We want to hear how God is working in and through you. And so if either through the message or just something you were reading on your own this week, we would love to hear that, because we are always excited by hearing what our God is doing. So don't hesitate to share that stuff as well. Christoph, thanks so much for taking time with me today.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was super encouraging.
It is super encouraging. It was, I shared with you right beforehand that we even heard that somebody wanted to get baptized after the Sunday, which, you know, not by any of our doing here on staff, but just by the Lord's stirring in somebody's heart.
Doing what
and
he does.
So even alongside that, it's not a question or a comment. Or if you heard that message and you go, I need to, because we witnessed a baptism on Sunday, which is awesome.
That's
it's such a great thing to be a part of. If you want to get baptized, like if you heard that and you're like, I need to have that outward profession of that conviction of God's work inside of me. Let us know. And it's August 23rd.
Yep.
We're aiming for
at the park.
Yeah. Worship at the park. And we're going to do some baptisms at the old Peshtigo River. We have to get, my old church, we one time got a folk band to like, and they played the, what is like the old Americana folk classic, come down to the river and pray. I'm butchering however it goes, but it's like the most classic bluegrass
awesome. Yep.
Folk song. And they played it as people came down to get baptized.
That's anyways, delightful.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
delightful. If somebody has a banjo that they're willing to give me, I will try to learn how to play that.
That'd be awesome. I would love that. I've always wanted to play an accordion. That's one of my
really?
Yeah, that's one of my like bucket list end of my life. I would love to learn how to play the accordion. So,
okay, so we're putting out the call. Banjo and or accordion. If anybody out there has one of those, you can be an integral part in the creation of the future Faith Bluegrass Band.
Love it. Yep, let's do it.
Church, we love you. Thanks so much for listening, and we can't wait to see you soon.